So when you picture Pakistan, maybe vibrant cities come to mind, or those incredible mountainscapes. But running right through it all, there's this network. And calling them just rivers. Well, it feels like you're really missing the bigger picture.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. They're more like arteries, wouldn't you say? Arteries of the nation's economy.
Exactly.
And
Arteries.
that's what we're diving into today. Why these rivers in Pakistan are just so critical. We'll be digging into the research, looking at how they power the economy,
Right.
how they sustain these vital ecosystems, their deep historical roots, the serious threats they're facing now,
Okay.
and importantly, what can actually be done to secure their future. The goal really is for you listening to get a real sense of why these rivers are just indispensable for Pakistan now and, well, for the future too.
Okay, let's start maybe with the most immediate thing, the economy. And when you talk rivers and the Pakistani economy, you really have to talk about the Indus River system, don't you? It seems like the absolute centerpiece.
Oh, undeniably, it's way more than just a river. It's the lifeblood. Simple as that.
Lifeblood.
Yeah, I mean, it stretches over 3,180 kilometers, starts way up high in the Himalayas, the Karakoram, the Hindu Kush ranges,
Oh.
and it forms the heart of the Indus Basin, this huge area that's fed by its five main tributaries, the Hilam, Chenab, Ravi, Sutlej, and Bees.
Okay.
And what's truly amazing is just the scale of the transformation it enables. It turns over 16 million hectares. Think about that, into incredibly fertile land.
16 million hectares. It's almost hard to picture. And what does that actually mean on the ground for farming?
Well, the data suggests that nearly 90%, 90% of Pakistan's agricultural output depends directly on water from this basin.
90%.
Rainfall. It's just not enough, not for widespread farming in Pakistan's climate, which is mostly arid or semi-arid.
Right.
Plus, you have the seasonal flow, driven by melting glaciers and the monsoons. That naturally enriches the soil too. But this heavy dependence, it also means there's a big vulnerability
That's right.
there.
Any disruption.
Exactly. Any disruption to that water source, and you're looking at significant national consequences.
So it's literally the foundation for the country's food supply and a massive part of its economy. And to manage all this water, Pakistan built something huge, didn't they? The Indus Basin Irrigation System.
They did indeed. The IBI, as it's known, it's actually the largest continuous irrigation network on the entire
The
planet.
largest.
Yeah, try to picture this. Over 58,500 kilometers of canals, plus more than 107,000 smaller watercourses, and then numerous barrages, headworks. It's an incredible feat of
That's
engineering.
vast.
Totally. It diverts river water across Punjab, Sindh, and parts of Khyber Pakhtunkhwa and Balochistan.
And this whole incredible system, it supports the crops that Pakistan absolutely relies on.
It certainly does. It's the lifeline for wheat and rice staple foods, key for national food security.
Okay.
And it's critical for cotton. Cotton is the base for Pakistan's huge textile industry, bringing in over 60% of the country's export earnings.
Over 60%.
Yeah. And then you've got sugarcane, too, which is vital for sugar, obviously, but
Yeah.
also for industrial use.
It's just astonishing how much hangs on this one river system. But using water so intensively, that must cause some problems too.
You're absolutely right to ask that. It does create challenges. The heavy irrigation has led to pretty significant issues, especially waterlogging.
Where the ground gets totally saturated.
Exactly. And salinity salt building up in the soil. These problems, sadly, affect nearly 2 million hectares of farmland.
2 million hectares damaged.
It really highlights why careful, sustainable management of this water is just so critical for the long run, for the health of the farmland.
Okay, so beyond farming, rivers are also big for Pakistan's energy, aren't they? Hydropower.
Absolutely. The power of that flowing water is a really crucial energy source. You've got major dams like Tarbela and Mangla. They're essential for irrigation, yes, but also for generating a lot of electricity.
Right.
And there's the upcoming Daimarbasha Dam, which is projected to add a massive 4,500 megawatts to the grid.
12,500 megawatts.
Yeah.
That's huge.
It is. Right now, hydropower provides maybe 30-35% of Pakistan's electricity generation capacity. So it definitely helps reduce the dependence on fossil fuels.
That's a pretty big slice. And it's renewable, which is obviously vital these days.
Hugely important. Hydropower is key for cutting reliance on imported fossil fuels, which helps with energy costs and, of course, lowers carbon emissions.
Sure.
And what's really interesting is that Pakistan is thought to be using only a fraction of its total hydropower potential. Some estimates put it around 60,000 megawatts.
60,000. Wow. So there's massive untapped potential there.
There really is. Expanding river-based energy while, you know, being very careful about the ecological impacts is a major strategy for tackling the country's energy needs.
And we shouldn't forget another key economic bit tied to rivers. Fishing.
Yes, a vital sector, even if it gets less headlines sometimes. The Indus River, its canals, lakes, floodplains, they support a really wide variety of freshwater fish.
Yeah.
Things like rohu, katla, mirigal species popular locally. These inland fisheries, they contribute significantly to food security. Affordable protein for lots of communities.
Right.
And the sector employs over 400,000 people, fishermen, related workers. It really boosts local economies through markets, small-scale trade.
It's amazing, again, just how many livelihoods are directly tied into these rivers.
It really is. And actually, the seasonal flooding, which can be destructive, also has a beneficial side here. It creates these temporary wetlands and floodplain lakes.
Ah, natural breeding grounds.
Exactly. Perfect natural breeding spots for fish. But there are threats here, too, of course. Declining water quality, overfishing, habitat loss. There are serious risks for these ecosystems and the people depending on them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for so many communities along the rivers, especially down in Sindh and southern Punjab, these waterways aren't just a resource. They literally shape their whole way of life. Everything from transport, farming, to their cultural identity, their daily food.
So, yeah, from huge national agriculture down to the individual fishermen.
Yeah.
The economic impact is just immense. But rivers are much more than just economic engines, aren't they? They're crucial environmentally, too.
Oh, absolutely. Pakistan's rivers are these vibrant ecosystems just teeming with biodiversity.
Right.
They flow all the way from those high northern peaks down to the coast, acting as these vital ecological corridors. They connect different habitats and support this huge array of species needed for a healthy environment.
Ecological corridors. I like that.
Yeah. The riverbanks, the floodplains, the wetlands nearby. They create this rich mosaic of habitats, crucial for breeding, feeding, wildlife movement.
And there's some really unique creatures living in these rivers, aren't there? Like the Indus River dolphin.
Yes, the Indus River dolphin, Platanista gangetica minor. It's a really important one, classified as endangered, and you only find it in the lower parts of the Indus River. Nowhere else on Earth.
Well, endemic.
Exactly. And it's what we call a flagship species. Its health really tells us about the river's overall health. Sadly, its numbers have dropped significantly. Habitat fragmentation, declining water quality, major problems for the dolphin.
That's a stark warning, isn't it? What other kinds of biodiversity do these rivers support?
Well, beyond the dolphin, you've got over 180 species of freshwater fish in Pakistan's river systems. Many play key roles in the food web and support those local fisheries we mentioned.
180 species.
Mm-hmm. Plus various amphibians, reptiles adapted to life near water. And don't forget the vegetation along the banks, the riparian vegetation.
Right, the plants along the edge.
Exactly. That stuff is critical. It helps hold the soil together, stops erosion, and provides food and shelter for countless insects, birds, mammals. These diverse zones are just much more resilient to environmental changes.
And the wetlands connected to the rivers. They're super important, too, I gather.
Incredibly important. These river-fed wetlands are recognized globally for their ecological value. Pakistan has 19 sites designated under the Ramsar Convention.
Ramsar sites, right. International importance.
Yep. Covering over 1.3 million hectares. Think of places like Haliji Lake, Kingshara Lake, the Ukali Wetlands Complex. They're biodiversity hotspots supporting loads of rare and migratory species.
Okay.
And they provide what we call ecosystem services. Like natural water filters, they help control floods by soaking up excess water, and they recharge groundwater. But,
They're under threat.
Increasingly so, yeah. Urban sprawl, pollution, reduced river flows. It's hitting them hard.
And we have to talk about the end of the line, right? Yeah. The Indus Delta and its mangrove forests.
Absolutely. The Indus Delta, it's actually one of the world's largest deltas in an arid region. And it supports these really significant mangrove forests. Crucial for coastal life, crucial for protecting the coastline itself.
Okay.
Historically, these mangroves covered a huge area over 600,000 hectares, but that's been slashed dramatically.
Why? Less freshwater.
That's the main driver, yeah. Less freshwater reaching the delta, plus other pressures. Mangroves are nurseries for loads of marine species, which props up Pakistan's coastal fishing.
Mm-hmm. They're also a natural defense against cyclones, coastal erosion.
Mm-hmm.
And they're amazing at storing carbon, like four times better than many land forests.
Four times.
Wow. But the fact that only about 86,000 hectares of healthy mangroves are left? Well, it just screams urgency for conservation, doesn't it?
It really does. That's a shocking decline. Mm-hmm. And rivers aren't just corridors for things living in the water, right? They're important for migrating birds, too.
Exactly right. Pakistan sits right on the Central Asian Flyway, a major migratory route for birds.
Oh, okay.
So its rivers and wetlands are vital pit stops for over a million migratory birds every single year. Species like greater flamingos, common cranes, they rely on these habitats to rest, refuel on their long journeys.
A million birds.
Mm-hmm. It boosts biodiversity, obviously, but there's also potential there for ecotourism. But again, sadly, the degradation of these habitats, the pollution, it's disrupting these ancient flight paths, putting bird populations at risk. So the ecological side is just immense, deeply interconnected. These rivers are clearly vital for way more than just water supply. And their significance, it stretches way back, doesn't it? Thousands of years to the very start of civilization there.
Oh, absolutely. The rivers in Pakistan are just woven into the fabric of its history and culture. The Indus River, especially, it's synonymous with one of the world's earliest great urban civilizations, the Indus Valley Civilization.
Right. Harappa, Mohenjo-Daro.
Exactly. Flourishing over 4,500 years ago along the fertile plains fed by the Indus and its tributaries, those cities show this incredibly advanced understanding of water management, agriculture, all possible because of the river's predictable floods.
Yeah.
And the rivers were also critical trade routes, connecting these settlements across vast distances. There's even strong evidence suggesting that changes in the river's courses, maybe shifting rivers, played a big part in the civilization's decline.
Wow, a civilization rising and falling with the river. That's powerful.
It's a profound lesson in how tightly linked human societies and river systems really are.
And that cultural weight, that importance, it didn't just disappear after the Indus Valley Civilization, did it? It continued.
Absolutely. Rivers became these potent symbols in Pakistan's cultural, spiritual life. Think about Sufi poetry. Rivers often represent the eternal flow of divine love, the journey of the soul. Poets like Bulleh Shah, Shah Abdul Latif Pitai, they used river imagery beautifully to explore deep spiritual ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Rivers also pop up in religious practices across different faiths, often seen as purifying. And local festivals frequently celebrate the life-giving power of rivers. Plus, countless folktales, oral traditions centered around rivers passed down generations.
So they're not just features on a map. Mm. They're really embedded in the national psyche, the identity.
Deeply embedded.
And even today, you can see how rivers influence where people live, how cities grow.
Precisely. It makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Access to fresh water, fertile land, transport routes. Rivers were natural magnets for settlement and trade. Look at major cities, Lahore near the Ravi, Multan on the Chenab, Sukkur along the Indus. Their growth, their prosperity is partly tied to being near these vital waterways.
And providing water, trade, even defense back in the day.
Exactly. Water supply, trade routes, natural defenses historically. And today, they still shape urban landscapes, influence where roads and bridges go, provide major economic opportunities.
It's such a rich, complex story, economic, ecological, cultural.
Mm-hmm.
But as we kind of touched on earlier, these incredibly vital rivers, they're facing some really serious threats now.
Sadly, yes. That's the hard truth. Once the lifeblood now, well, they're under immense pressure. Human activities, climate change. It's a dangerous combination.
Mm.
Mismanagement, overuse, environmental neglect. It's leading to rapid deterioration, and that has massive knock-on effects for food security, biodiversity, public health, the whole socioeconomic stability of the country.
And one of the biggest pressures comes from the very things built to harness their power.
Right.
Dams, water diversions.
It's a paradox, isn't it? While dams and canals are essential for farming and power, the way water diversion has often happened, kind of unchecked, has had severe ecological costs.
Right.
Building those huge dams, Tarbela, Mangla, and the massive Ibis network, it fundamentally changed how the rivers flow naturally.
Okay.
The Indus Delta is probably the starkest example. Historically, it got something like 180 billion cubic meters of fresh water flow each year.
180 BCM.
Okay.
In some recent years.
Yeah.
That's dropped to less than 10 BCM.
Less than 10 from 180. That's a drag. It's catastrophic for the Delta. This massive reduction has caused huge erosion, thousands of acres lost to the sea annually, and saltwater intrusion.
Saltwater pushing inland.
Yeah, creeping further and further inland, sometimes up to 100 kilometers. It ruins valuable farmland, contaminates freshwater sources people rely on. It also fragments habitats and cuts down the sediment flow that naturally builds up the delta.
A truly devastating impact. And then there's pollution, which sounds like it's just rampant.
It is. Pollution is a critical, very visible threat. You've got rapid urbanization, industrial growth, but often without enough enforcement of environmental rules.
Right.
So many rivers have basically become open sewers. Studies suggest over 90% of Pakistan's industrial wastewater just gets dumped straight into rivers,
Wow,
untreated.
90%.
Untreated. And add to that 2 million tons of raw sewage flowing into the Indus system every single year.
2 million
Yeah,
tons.
the main culprits, hazardous chemicals from industries like tanneries, textiles, agricultural runoff carrying pesticides, fertilizers, and just untreated domestic sewage.
It's a toxic cocktail.
Absolutely. The Ravi River near Lahore, now considered one of the most polluted rivers in all of South Asia, and the Layari River in Karachi. It's essentially just a wastewater channel now, lost almost all its ecological function.
That's terrible.
And this toxic mix, it devastates aquatic life, makes the water totally unsafe for people to use, and contributes to serious public health problems.
And layered on top of all that is the huge challenge of climate change.
Yeah, Pakistan is consistently ranked among the most vulnerable countries to climate change impacts, and its rivers are right on the front line.
Because they rely so much on glaciers.
Exactly. That heavy reliance on glacier-fed rivers makes the country particularly susceptible as temperatures rise and weather patterns shift. You get accelerated glacial melt.
Which might mean more water short term.
Right, a temporary increase maybe, but the long-term risk is severe water shortages as those glaciers shrink and disappear.
A ticking clock almost.
It feels like it. Then you have erratic monsoons causing both devastating floods, like the huge ones in 2010, and then prolonged droughts. And there's this growing threat from GLOFs, glacial lake outburst floods.
GLOFs, what are they exactly?
It's when meltwater builds up behind a natural dam formed by a glacier, like in a lake, and then that dam suddenly breaks. It releases this massive, sudden, destructive flood downstream.
Right.
And they've identified thousands of these glacial lakes up in northern Pakistan. Many are considered potentially dangerous.
It really does sound like a perfect storm of threats hitting these crucial waterways. And the impact on all that biodiversity we talked about, it must be devastating.
It is, absolutely. The degradation of these river ecosystems is sparking a major biodiversity crisis. Habitats shrink, water quality plummets, many species are facing extinction. We're seeing sharp drops in many fish populations, bad for the ecosystem, but also terrible for food security, for communities relying on fishing.
Right.
The Indus River dolphin, already endangered, now exists in these fragmented little populations, making it even more vulnerable.
Isolated.
Yeah. And the wetlands, crucial for migratory birds, they're drying up or becoming too polluted. It disrupts those ancient migration routes, reduces the variety of bird life. This loss of biodiversity just weakens the whole system's natural resilience.
It does paint a really concerning picture.
Yeah.
But surely people working on this, there must be strategies, actions being taken to tackle these huge challenges.
Oh, absolutely. There's a growing recognition that sustainable river management is just paramount for Pakistan's future. It's not easy. It needs a really comprehensive strategy.
Right.
We're talking policy changes, new technologies, getting communities involved, international cooperation, all working together.
Right.
One key approach is Integrated River Basin Management, IRBM.
IRBM.
Yeah, it basically means managing the entire river basin holistically, recognizing that land use, water allocation, biodiversity, people's needs, it's all interconnected.
Makes sense.
It involves coordinated planning across different government departments, different sectors, and really importantly, actively involving everyone who has a stake from local villages right up to government agencies, looking upstream and downstream together.
Are there examples of this working elsewhere?
Yeah, definitely. Places like Australia with their Murray-Darling Basin Management or the Netherlands with the Rhine River Restoration, they offer valuable lessons, though each river system is unique, of course.
And making sure the rivers actually have enough water left in them for nature. That's got to be part of it too, the environmental flows idea.
Exactly. Reviving environmental flows, basically. The minimum amount of water a river needs to stay healthy ecologically is absolutely vital.
Okay.
That means things like setting legal requirements for minimum flow levels, especially down in the critical Indus Delta. It probably means reassessing water sharing agreements, like the 1991 accord between provinces, especially considering climate change impacts now.
Right. Things have changed since 91.
Hugely. And promoting farming methods that use water much more efficiently, reducing the overall demand. If we can restore these flows, it helps rejuvenate habitats, push back that saltwater intrusion in the delta, and support all that amazing biodiversity.
That sounds crucial. It's encouraging to hear about these big picture strategies. But what about action on the ground? Local efforts?
Oh, community-led initiatives are incredibly important, often very effective too. All across Pakistan, you see local communities, NGOs, getting active, working for cleaner, healthier rivers.
Like what kind of thing?
Well, projects like the Clean Ravi Project, trying to tackle pollution near Lahore, efforts down in Sindh to replant mangrove forests, educational campaigns promoting smarter water use. It really shows the power of grassroots action, empowering local communities, making them stewards of their local rivers. That's absolutely key for any long-term success.
And technology must have a role, too, in monitoring these huge complex systems.
For sure. Technology offers some really powerful tools. Satellite remote sensing, for instance, gives great data on how river courses are changing, vegetation cover.
Right.
You've got Internet of Things IoT sensors that can give real-time updates on water quality. Geographic information systems, GIS, are brilliant for mapping flood risks, planning resource allocation.
Definitely.
Organizations like SUPARCO, the space agency, are generating really important data. The challenge is making sure that data gets properly integrated into actual policy decisions.
Got it. And finally, because so many of these rivers cross borders, cooperation between countries must be essential, right?
Absolutely critical. Pakistan's water security is fundamentally tied to its relationships with its neighbors. The Indus Waters Treaty with India, signed way back in 1960, has been a vital agreement for managing the eastern rivers.
Mm-hmm.
But ongoing dialogue is essential, especially now with climate change impacts becoming clearer and new dams or infrastructure projects being planned upstream or downstream.
Right. Constant communication needed.
Definitely. And engaging with Afghanistan is also important, particularly regarding the Kabul River, which flows into the Indus. Collaborating with China, too, on climate resilience programs up in the glacier regions. It's all part of ensuring sustainable water management and, frankly, promoting regional stability.
It's just such a complex picture, isn't it? This
web
of challenges, potential solutions, all revolving around these absolutely essential rivers.
It is.
It really hammers home what we said at the start, how deep and varied the role of these rivers is, past, present, future. They really are so much more than just water flowing through the land.
Indeed. So maybe as you listening reflect on all this, the rivers as economic drivers, ecological lifelines, cultural touchstones, perhaps a final thought to leave you with is this. Just consider how profoundly interconnected everything is. The health of Pakistan's economy, its environment, its cultural identity, it's all tied to the health of its rivers.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe think about the role that each of us plays, individually and collectively, in making sure these vital arteries keep flowing, keep sustaining life for all the generations still to come.